This is NHL Radio.
Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the NHL Hour. Bill Clement with me, Gary Bettman, and we are coming to you live from the NHL store powered by Reebok in New York City. That would be 47th Street and Avenue of the Americas, for those of you in the neighborhood. The call-in number is 1-877-NHL on XM. That's 1-877-645-6696. We'll take your calls. We'll later be joined by the president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, Jim Rutherford. And that's what we're going to do for the next hour or so.
It's a plan. It's a good plan.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so great. It's so great to see so many families that are vacationing in New York for this weekend, and they're just the store. Even at Christmas time, I'm not even sure I saw the store any busier.
The store looks very crowded.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a shirt and tie. Why are you so dressed up?
Little TV later.
Oh, little TV?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
TV. I'm in the studio for the Rangers-Flyers game back in Philadelphia. The game is in New York.
Yes.
I'm in the studio back in Philadelphia.
I know where the game is.
Yeah.
I was just curious as to why you were looking so well
anytime you see shirt and tie from the waist up and jeans from the waist down, it's a
I didn't notice the jeans when I walked
it's a
into
tip
this
off.
When I walked into the studio an hour ago, you were sitting down.
Yeah, that's right. I've been here for a couple of hours.
I know.
Talking about everything good. The races still go on. We're getting closer. But it's here we are with, 3 days left in the regular season, and there's still so much to be decided.
Although, for our fans in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, baby.
They get the treat that they haven't experienced before. So congratulations to the Columbus Blue Jackets on earning their first playoff berth in team history. And I certainly hope to be on hand at Nationwide Arena when they play their first home playoff game. I think that'll be a very special event. I've been watching on my center ice package a number of the games out of Nationwide for the Blue Jackets, and the crowds have been terrific.
Fantastic.
The fans are experiencing, the equivalent right now of playoff hockey. Also, talking about how the regular season is wrapping up, the San Jose Sharks can, and I don't say this to jinx them, can capture the President's Trophy for the first time in their history tonight if they beat Phoenix, or if a variety of other things happen involving Boston, Montreal, and Detroit, Nashville. Those two games are being played as well. But that would be a wonderful accomplishment for the Sharks. It's a wonderful accomplishment for any franchise that can get through this regular season with the most points.
Yep. Fans in Columbus are in for an unbelievable treat, and boy, they have paid their dues waiting for it. In the same vein, the fans in San Jose, for all of the great regular seasons that the San Jose Sharks have had, are sure poised and waiting with fingers crossed for the Sharks to make a deep run into the playoffs, like deeper than ever before.
No question about it. Speaking of the playoffs, I also want to talk about the portal, which we've been giving a lot of attention to. Next Monday, when you access NHL.com, you will enter the portal, which I suppose could stand for Playoff Obsession Raised to a New Level. It's going to make use of all of our digital platforms to take you deep inside the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't want to ruin any surprises, but the portal is going to have lots of features that will give you the most information, the best information, info you can't get anywhere else, and to give a little bit of a tease, it's also, there's going to be a lot of live programming on NHL.com so that you're going to be able to, be up to date, up to the minute, and connected to the game like never before and like nowhere else. And while we're talking all things hockey, the Frozen Four reaches its culmination this weekend at the Verizon Center in Washington. We see a doubleheader tonight with Bemidji State playing Miami That would be of Ohio.
At 5 o'clock, I think.
I don't have the time.
Yeah, I think it's 5. I think that's 5 and 8 are the game times.
Something like that. And then Boston University plays the Catamounts of the University of Vermont from Burlington. And the championship game, concluding the Final Four and crowning a national collegiate champion, is on Sunday. And one more programming plug. Just one more. Near the front of the store, the NHL store powered by Reebok, is an Original Six theme motorcycle. I don't know if you've noticed it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Do you have an...
I have an interest in it. There's a price tag on it, too.
Right. And we take American Express here. Or Visa
my,
or
MasterCard. My limit is not quite high enough.
Oh, okay. At 9 o'clock tonight, p.m., Eastern Time, you can, if you're not watching NHL action, or if you want to hook up your DVR, you can see how the chopper was created by watching American Chopper on TLC.
Paul Tuttle, we had him on the on NHL Live. He came on, did an interview with us. Interesting guy.
Isn't it? He was actually here for the opening of the season this year.
Yeah.
He's an interesting
guy. That's great. 877-645-6696, 877-645-6696, if you have a question for Commissioner Gary Bettman. Now, you mentioned the center ice package. It's my lifeline, as it is for so many people. Of course, Game Center is available as well. What has really bugged me the last couple of years is I've gone opening night to watch, and it hasn't been there because it doesn't renew automatically. You have to call the cable company and ask for it, and I thought, boy, wouldn't they be smart just to automatically renew it and then pull the plug if you didn't want it? I mean, that's what most people do. You spend half of the day looking at your credit card going, you know what, I didn't want that recurring charge to come back on. This is one time where I would like it, and 2 years in a row I've gotten caught.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. Interestingly enough, DirecTV does automatic renew.
Uh-huh. I'm switching.
But most cable systems are not equipped to do it.
Right.
And in fact, I think our own XM Sirius does not do automatic renew, or at least, and maybe they've changed it a couple of times in the middle of a song as I'm driving down the highway. The signal goes out, and I call in, and I say, oh, why is my signal out? And they go, you haven't renewed.
You're up.
But, you know, I was up, you know, but then I renewed while I was on the phone, and, you know. It's
well,
all good.
Good for you. They billed me twice once.
Did they? That's because you, being talented, get their VIP treatment.
No. What happened was that it recurred on my credit card, and they sent me a paper bill. I hadn't noticed the credit card. I paid with the check. A few months later, I noticed it and called them up, and they said, statute of limitations, too bad. We're not going to refund any. So I double paid for it, and they said, I'm sorry, too bad. You ran out of time to call us. There's a statute of limitations on the window that you can call us, so I paid twice.
Actually, I'm feeling a little sympathetic, but this isn't exactly the best plug at customer service we could be giving our host here today.
Well, maybe we can kind of shake him into some kind of action.
Well, I think they owe you another year. And
thank
Greg
you.
Hey, speaking of Greg Baldinger, you didn't get me my list of the 33 most important classic rock albums. I've only been asking for a week.
And
we haven't gotten it. Okay. You know, you don't have a mic, so
right.
With all you know about radio, you're talking to us and nobody can hear you. So on that note, let's go to the calls. Let's talk to Josh in Florida. You're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204, Sirius 208.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. It's an honor to get to speak to you.
Thank you for calling in.
I just had a question for you real quick, and I know a lot of people call about the center ice, and it can get repetitive to listen to, but I think my question might have a little bit more legitimacy than why can't I get Maple Leaf TV in Florida. But my question basically is this. The Florida Panthers, I'm a big fan, season ticket holder. I also have Game Center and center ice packages. They have played a few games this season where neither team decided to pick up the game, whether it be, for instance, Carolina or Florida. And so because of that, I had to listen to the game on radio, which made me feel very old with all the technology that we have today. My question is, why can't we see more of those games broadcast on the NHL Network or online with just the feeds from in the arena? I know they did that one game recently, but I'd like to see that more often because I'd rather see, you know, not as great of a visual and still be able to watch the game.
Actually, your observation is correct, and your suggestion is a good one, which we've tried. There are probably less than 15 games out of the 1,230 regular season games that we have that are not broadcast by either the home team or the visiting team. Just the fluke of nature. Sometimes the local regional sports channel doesn't buy all 82 games, buy 70 or 75. And for whatever reasons, the schedule or the like, a particular game may not be picked up by either. Occasionally, you'll have two teams playing where not all their games are being picked up, and they'll be playing in either the exclusive NBC or versus window, and that would result in the game not being televised either. We recently had a game, like the one just described by our caller, which was on while Versus had a game, but Versus gave us permission to use the radio call of the game and the local in-house feed and stream it on Game Center Live on NHL.com. So that reduced by one the number of games not carried. It hasn't been a big problem, and to the extent there's interest in a particular game, we do look for alternatives to put it up there. But the good news is virtually all of our games are televised, and in the occasional case, now where a game is one of the handful not picked up, we've actually devised a way, such as the way what the caller described, where fans can get it if they really want to see it badly enough. I view that as a good thing in a couple of respects. One, virtually all the games are televised, and two, even when there's a small, relatively insignificant number of games not carried, people are getting upset about it, and that's good. My goal is ultimately to have 100% of our games televised and televised in high definition, and we're now somewhere, my guess is, between 50 and 60% of our games are now being televised in high def. So it's a gradual process, but I think we all want the same result, and we're heading there.
Well, we picked up five of those games that were not going to be televised. We picked them up on the NHL network and produced them and put them up there. But I can feel this caller's pain, because Tuesday night the Florida Panthers played in Philadelphia two nights ago. Wasn't televised back to Florida. That had been decided before the season even began. There was a big black X on that day, and it wasn't going to be televised. But
although if you had not in Florida, well, actually, the game probably wouldn't have been blacked out in Florida. If you have the out-of-market package, if you have center ice, you would have been able to get the game, because you would get it off of the Comcast feed for Philadelphia. So all good stuff. Why don't we talk to Aaron in California? Aaron, you're on with Bill Clement, Gary Bettman, XM Sirius 204-208.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was just hoping you'd give me some insight into the tradition of the three-star selection and who makes that call at the end of the game.
Well, I wish I could give you insights as to the origin of it. It varies as to who makes the call. Very often they'll ask one writer to make the call. They'll ask one of the TV personalities or radio broadcasters, and it varies. They usually tab somebody from the media in each building on a given night to choose the three stars. I've been asked at times to do it.
And do you do a good job when you do it?
Awful.
Awful?
Because I forget that I have to do it. At the end of the game, they say, here's your ballot. And I go, oh, wow. Now I got to remember the entire game because I should have been making notes during the game. It's not easy.
Are you whining?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that in a lot of games, depending on the score, depending on how the game was played, the three stars, I will tell you, just for an example, the Flyers won 2-1 on Tuesday night. Andrew Alberts had seven huge hits. Didn't figure in any of the offense, but I thought deserved to be one of the stars, and there was no room for him.
Now, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you have been criticized resoundingly by your choices when you were the designee?
Always.
Always.
There's always going to be somebody that criticizes that.
My understanding is that the origin of the three stars of the game was it was sponsored by Esso. Remember Esso?
Sure.
They used to, for people, much younger than you and I, Mr. Clement, that was what Exxon used to be called when I was a lad in the United States.
They sponsored Hockey Night in Canada.
And the three stars of the game originated on Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh,
And I think that goes back to the 50s.
That's right. Before I had television.
Well, how many times were you one of the three stars of the game?
That's something that I never kept track of. I was now and again, but...
Was it easy to keep track of? Could you do it on your hands and your toes?
Probably. Yes, probably. But I don't know that anybody has a record of that. Although teams now have sponsorships around them.
And I think it's a great tradition.
Sure
where,
is.
Where the players come out and are acknowledged by the fans, and they get to salute the fans back.
I just don't like it when a road player decides that he's not going to come out and do the little skate. I think that should
that
be mandatory.
That doesn't happen very often.
Not very often. It's kind of poor sportsmanship when you don't.
Well, but sometimes they come out and get booed.
Yeah, but still, I mean, the television audience, sometimes the TV audience wants to see it if they're covering the three stars. It's still not the best sportsmanlike gesture.
And actually getting booed isn't a bad thing. It's what I say when I go on the ice. If it's silent when you go out there, you know there's a problem. At least if there's booing or cheering, you know you've evoked some sort of reaction.
You don't want them saying, who is that guy?
No, or they don't care.
Okay.
Which is even worse. Why don't we go to Patrick in New Jersey? You're on with Bill and Gary, Sirius XM.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We're good. What about you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I just had a quick question on instant replay. I noticed in the Sean Avery, Tim Thomas dust-up on Saturday that Sean Avery had actually gone to the bench. They reviewed the play, and then they called a penalty on him, a roughing, which was a good call. But is this something that the NHL is going to be doing more in the future, or was this kind of just a one-time thing because it was in TV timeout and the officials just didn't see it for whatever reason? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
That's not my understanding of what happened. The officials may have gathered together to talk about what they saw, but we don't use replay for anything other than the puck going into the net.
And are the refs ever allowed to use it?
No, that's not. You're not allowed to use replay. They can use it for time on the clock. But in terms of the calls that they're supposed to be making on the ice, unless it involves ruling a puck in the net or not, goal or no goal, they're not supposed to be using video replay.
But they're allowed to confer, and often a linesman can come in and say, look, this is what I saw, so you might want to consider this. Linesmen make suggestions to the refs, do they not?
Linesmen can make suggestions to the ref because there's a lot going on out there, which is why in critical, difficult situations you'll see the officials conferring, but they're not using video replay, again, other than to decide whether or not a goal or non-goal call was right. So, you know, I didn't understand what that caller said the case was to be the case, and I don't believe it was. Actually, I was just handed a note before we go to the next caller. The three stars originated as a means for Imperial Oil, which I think became Esso, to advertise its three-star brand of gas on Hockey Night in Canada in 1936-37.
I remember the slogan for Imperial Oil when I used to watch Hockey Night in Canada. The last line of their slogan was, always look to Imperial for the best.
Frank Brown handed me that note. I don't know where he got that from. But that is a great piece of trivia, and if it's accurate, you can compliment us for being right on the ball, and if it's inaccurate, Frank Brown is his name, and you can blame him. We're not blaming anybody, though, so let's talk to Pogi in Los Angeles. Pogi, you're a regular caller. You're on with Bill and Gary again. Welcome back.
I'm a regular. I listen to XM, I think, even in my sleep.
Really? I think we need to get you some help for that.
maybe give myself a one-hour radio show or something so I can vent.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll give you a couple of minutes to vent. How's that?
Okay, sounds good to me. Two questions. One is brought on by Don LaGreca from NHL Live. He had a great idea yesterday, which I thought made sense, which was if, let's say, in the first round of the playoffs, Versus is covering two games in one day, and one of them goes into overtime, could they show the second game on one of the center ice packages until the overtime game finishes and then flip it back to Versus? Is that logistically possible?
That's a good question. We'll have to ask. I mean, typically what they'll do is they'll stay to the game with the game till conclusion. I don't know that Versus has the capability to run a second feed. That's something we'll have to check. And I don't think we've had this problem too many times on Versus. But it's a good suggestion, and we will check into it. My guess is, well, typically Versus wouldn't be picked up on center ice because it would be distributed nationally. So that would mean that either we'd have to ramp up on a satellite transponder that we weren't planning on.
On a just-in-case basis
On a just-in-case basis, or they would have to have an alternate feed available, an alternate channel outlet, and I'm not sure if they have that, although they do now have two. They have the standard definition and they have the high definition. We should probably talk to them about that and see if it becomes an issue, if there's anything we can do. That is a good suggestion.
Way to go, Pogi.
Yeah, who calls in regularly. Brian in San Jose, you're on with Bill and Gary. And this
Hi, guys.
Is,
thanks for taking my call.
It's good to talk to you.
I wanted to bring up, I know you guys probably hear a lot about the overtime points rule in the NHL.
Yes.
One suggestion that I have that I really don't ever really hear anyone suggesting, strangely enough, is how about the idea of eliminating the automatic point for reaching overtime, but keep the automatic point for reaching the shootout. So in essence, you lose in overtime, you lose. But if you get to the shootout, you get a point like you would with the ties a couple of years ago.
You know,
gets the second point.
It's an interesting suggestion. I guess the reason you haven't heard about it too much is because there hasn't been a whole lot of discussion about changing the point system. Periodically, people ask questions, and they're good questions. They're valid questions. But for the most part, I think people are pretty pleased with the season that we've had and how competitive the games have been and how close the races for the playoffs have been. I mean, listen, we're down to the last weekend, basically, and we still have some open slots. This season really went down to the wire. The notion of the point in overtime came from we didn't want teams sitting back as they had wanting to get the tie or the guaranteed point. We wanted teams in overtime 4-on-4 to go for it and go for the win. And if you didn't get a point for being in overtime, then the tendency might be to sit back if you were worried about winning and try to get to the shootout and therefore get the point and then maybe win the shootout. And while we like the shootout, we're not trying to encourage more and more shootouts. We'd like as many games as possible to be decided in regulation, and if not in regulation, then in overtime. And I think if you take away the point, you'll have less of a tendency of teams to go for it and win it outright.
Flip side is if a team's not very good in shootouts, they might want to go for it in overtime. But there's been no...
But if you're not good in shootouts, you get the shootout, you still get the point anyway. If you go for it and you lose, you get nothing in overtime under the last suggestion.
Oh, that's right. There was a point for the overtime, for the
exactly.
shootout loss. But nobody internally, none of the teams, the general managers, have, you know, bring it up regularly and want to do anything with the point system. I know fans seem...
Periodically, not overwhelmingly. Yeah. You know, most of the feedback I get is we like it. I don't recall any discussion of the point system at the last couple of general managers meeting. It's not a hot topic. I mean, sure, and it's great that our fans are passionate and focused and think about ways that maybe we can change or improve things, but it's worked pretty well.
Really well.
There you go.
Yeah, no doubt.
Are we going to another call?
I guess.
Excellent.
Why not?
I like that. Why don't we talk to Diane in Florida? Diane, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM Sirius.
Hey. Hi, it's great to talk to you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I've got a question regarding DirecTV and NHL Center Ice, which I've had since the beginning of time, so I can watch every single New York Rangers hockey game.
I gather you're a Rangers fan.
Yes. And I like Sam and Joe, and I like HD, and it seems that since the All-Star break, DirecTV or somebody has blacked out the HD versions of all the Rangers games, home and away. And they also seem to do it to that other team on the island and Brodeur's team.
Well, actually, the quick answer to your question is at least you're getting Sam and Joe,
yes.
but we have not been getting the HD feeds from MSG Network, which is why the Devils, the Rangers, and the Islander feeds on Center Ice have been in standard definition and not high definition. That is something that we will be working on, and I hope to have resolved for next season, because we would like all of our games available in HD. And DirecTV has been spectacular, because for each game, you get a choice. You can get the standard definition and the high definition feeds of both the home and away team to the extent they're available. This is not a DirecTV issue. This is the fact that we haven't been getting the HD feeds from MSG Network, and that's something we're going to be working on.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sam and Joe look way better in HD anyway. 877-645-669. They look great anytime. I'm only kidding. They're buds, right? You can get away with that. 877-645-6696 is the number. If you have a question for Commissioner Gary Bettman, now's the time to jump on board.
And why don't we go to our next caller jumping on board, Jeff in Michigan. You're on with Bill and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Hello, John. Thank you for taking my call. Great honor to talk to both of you. I have a question, actually a rule suggestion for your two-minute penalties. And maybe it's been touched on before and I just missed it. But to increase a little bit more skating during the five-on-four or a four-on-three situation, I would like to see the shorthanded team, if they score, get their man out of the box. I'll hang up and wait for an explanation, or maybe if it's been touched on before.
Hey, wait, don't hang up for a second. Okay. You do get your guy back out of the box when you score.
Well, I mean, I want to see shorthanded getting your guy out of the box.
If you score shorthanded.
In other words, make the penalty. Ah. If you make the penalty more severe. So
correct.
That if you give up a shorthanded goal, you've also successfully killed the penalty.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's interesting. I've never heard anybody suggest
either.
Well, another, if that's true, if that comes up, we call it the poops rule.
Okay. But you know what? The quick answer is that's like adding insult to injury.
Well, of course. That's what it's all about.
That's interesting. I'm not sure the general managers. Or the coaches or the players would love that idea, but it's an interesting suggestion. I want to think about it a little more. I think we can call it the insult to injury rule. But
that is really interesting.
It is.
It would sure encourage a lot of teams if they had a chance to go for a scoring chance to go ahead and try to get it, because they would, if they score, they'd get a bonus, and that is getting their guy back.
What a premium this would put on your penalty killing.
Really?
Special team. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, why don't we go to our next caller, which would be Dennis in Pennsylvania. You're on with Bill and Gary. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for letting me on. Commissioner, and I would say that I'm a longtime fan of hockey. I am a season ticket holder for the Penguins, and when I can't get down to the games, I watch it on anywhere. It is becoming maddening to watch the games with the current the direction of the cameraman. I know that NHL and the cameramen and the crews are trying to make it more lively, but they've gone from the typical tennis watching positions from back and forth, to actually cutting into the play and looking. Last night I watched the game, the Penguins. Two nights ago, I watched the Penguins play, and they actually had the camera shot over the net. And when the play happened, you couldn't see it. It happened in front of the net, and then it cut off to the good shots, and they actually show it over again. Now, I think I know why they're trying to do it, to make it more interesting and give more exposure to the players, but they actually have films of the players going off the ice, sitting in the bench while the play is going on. It's becoming maddening. I wish you guys would attend to that and make it better. And I realize why you're doing it, and it's trying to be more creative, but it's becoming more difficult.
Well, you know, in addition to being more creative, I think the intention is to try and give the viewers at home a sense of being closer to the action, closer to what's happening on the ice. And, you know, we do lots of things. We don't get to actually direct the games. That's not an excuse or a cop-out. And we do provide feedback. We scrutinize both the national and local broadcasts. And when there are things that we think can be improved upon, we make suggestions. In this particular case, my guess is if you're dealing with a cameraman who doesn't know the game particularly well, or more importantly, a director. who's cutting from feed to feed, he may not, you know, some directors are better than other directors, and somebody trying to be creative may be sacrificing the game.
I feel this caller's pain, because people that have watched the game for as many years as the caller has and as I have, I want to see play shaping up and I want to see the game, and there are certain directors that want to put their own signature on the game or create their own art form that might stray or vary from what I want to see or our caller wanted to see.
But when the commentary is as extraordinary as it is when you're calling a game, it doesn't matter what you're looking at.
And when I'm calling the game, I'm looking at the game live. I don't need it. It's when I'm sitting at home.
No, I think it's a fair point, and sometimes a particular telecast gets carried away. And I think, you know, one of the things I think NBC's particularly good at is they like to stick to the fundamentals of showing the game, letting you see what's going on. They don't do too many crowd shots or the like. They want you to see the hockey that's being played, and that's what I think fans want to see.
Yeah, so I agree.
That's a good comment.
Yep, and there are directors that want to stray from that formula, and in a lot of ways, I don't think they may be doing the novice or the new fan a service by keeping them close to the game, but I personally feel that they sacrifice too much of the game flow and what's happening on the ice, so I agree with the caller. A lot of times, I'm missing something, too, when I'm watching.
There you go. Let's talk to Tom in Pennsylvania. Tom, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Hello. I'm calling about the home center ice package. I really enjoyed the package. I'm here in Pennsylvania. I'm a Philadelphia Flyers fan and everything. And but there's so many teams close to us that we do get some of the blackout problems. And I've heard all the calls about that. But my call is kind of a complaint. I'd like to know the reasoning why you cut away from the game immediately after the game, why we can't see any post-commentary stuff and that sort of thing.
It traditionally goes back to the fact that there's only so much transponder and satellite capacity that's available. It goes to the contractual relationships that the regional sports channels have with respect to what they can and can't make available to us in the coverage. It has to go with the reconciling of a whole complex series of rights that enables us to get the games in the first place. But frequently, if you can't get it, some feeds stay on longer than others, but if you can't get it, you can also check NHL.com, because we also try to make it a point of giving post-game coverage. And if you're not getting it on NHL.com because we're not carrying it, you can also try the team website, because a number of teams have started carrying the post-game conferences on their websites, streaming the video as well. This is an area, you know, I hope I can describe this well enough. It's evolving so quickly. There's technology that didn't exist 5 or 10 years ago. The ability to stream video, provide things that you never imagined you could get before. And I think in terms of the practices that we in all leagues and the clubs at their level are trying to do, it's taking a little bit of getting used to, and we're trying to be proactive. We're trying to be cutting edge. We're trying to give you more things than you've never gotten before. And these are all good suggestions. And my guess is over time, we're going to work our way to give you anything and everything you want when you want it. And by the way, if you go to NHL Network and watch On the Fly, you're likely to get the most important things out of the post-game features as well. So there's a combination of available distribution sources. It's kind of getting used to where they're showing up, and it's also us kind of figuring out the best places to put these things.
Everybody's on the learning curve.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to step out and take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat with the president and general manager of the hottest team in the National Hockey League, and that is the Carolina Hurricanes, and he is Jim Rutherford. He will be with us on the NHL Hour. Callers, appreciate your patience. Just hang out there, and we'll get to you as soon as we're finished with GM Rutherford right here on the NHL Hour.
Hi, this is Eric Stahl of the Carolina Hurricanes, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour, and Eric Stahl giving us that intro is appropriate since we're going to talk to Jim Rutherford, the president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes. But before I do that, one further point of clarification. The three stars of the game that I talked about in 36-37, obviously that was on radio.
There wasn't any. There wasn't much TV going around.
Oh, speaking of hot items on TV, Jim Rutherford, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I know you're a bit superstitious, and I don't want to be accused of jinxing anything, but your team is 13-1-2 since the start of March and is probably the hottest team in the league heading into the playoffs. What was the turning point, do you think?
Well, we've struggled most of the first half of the season and really up to the three-quarter point to get team confidence. You know, we'd have some good things happen, but never to the point where our team as a whole felt really good about itself. And so a lot of things have to happen when you go on a streak. Obviously, our goalie's been good. Our best player, Eric Staal's been good. But we made a few changes, which gave us more depth when we picked up Jokic and brought Eric Cole back. Ray Whitney's been good. And the coaching staff's done a good job. We adjusted our system a little bit. Took a little while to fall into place. But at this point, the team's played pretty well.
You missed the playoffs last year by a point and missed narrowly in 2006-2007. What goes through your mind as you're going down the stretch in the regular season and it just isn't working for you? And how do you feel when the reality sets in that you're not going to be part of the playoffs?
Well, it was an awful feeling last year, Gary. We were in first place from start to finish. Well, no, not start to finish. From start to game 81. And we had a home game against Florida. Florida has a good team, but they got great goaltending from Anderson that night at the RBC Center, and we just couldn't get the job done, and that was a horrible feeling when you're in first place for 81 games, and then all of a sudden you give it up. And so, of course, when that happens a year ago, and you get in a situation where you're going down the stretch again, and you're not in first place, and you're fighting with about four to six teams, for just a few spots, those memories come back. But our team stuck with it, and that's what I talked about, team confidence. They felt they could do it, and they did, and got it done before the last game, actually with three games left.
You played the game, and I want to talk more about that in a second, but can you ever remember a time where the competitive balance in our league was like it is and has been for the last couple of seasons?
I can't, and it's really good for the game. It's not always exciting for a general manager or a coach that's fighting day to day to get their next 2 points, but it's really good for the game. And it shows not this year. There will be a couple of teams in each conference that will miss the playoffs that are good teams. Other teams that will miss that are teams that aren't many pieces away from improving their team, and it gives each market a chance every year. Even though you miss 1 year, you know that you have a chance the following year, and so I think it's been really good for our league.
For people who don't know you, when we're talking to Jim Rutherford, president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, give people a little sense of your travels, your route through the hockey world to get to be in the position that you're in.
Well, That's a good question, or a good one to answer, because I get a lot of job requests and young people saying that they would like to be in my position someday, and certainly with an interesting background to try to do that. But I played in the pro hockey for 14 years, 13 in the National Hockey League, and when I retired, I was one of the fortunate ones because we all know that when we retire, we struggle to figure out what we're going to do after we played the game. And I was fortunate that I met Peter Kermanis and started to work with him, worked in his youth hockey program, which I think was really good for me to go back to the grassroots of the game and basically start all over in a new career. And that went from being the manager of a major junior A team in Windsor, the Windsor Spitfires, to being the point person to try to find an NHL team for Mr. Kermanis. And we looked at several teams and finally got to the point that it was the Hartford Whalers. And that was, I believe, in 1994. Mr. Kermanis closed on his deal, and we walked across the street, and the NHL draft was in the Hartford Civic Center, and I've been the manager for this franchise ever since.
Talk a little bit about hockey in Carolina. I think in some places there are critics or people who misunderstand how hockey is emerging in the so-called newer markets. Some people refer to it as the Sun Belt. Talk about the Triangle, Raleigh-Durham, as a hockey market and your fans.
Well, you know, we all have critics, and it doesn't matter what business we're in. And I don't have any problems with critics. The one thing I have a problem with is when the critics don't take the time to do their homework and actually come to the market, whether it's Carolina or Anaheim or wherever it may be. And so I think some of the information that's been put out there over the last number of years has certainly been misleading. It hasn't been accurate. But we came here, as you know, in 97, and it was a tough go the first few years because we didn't have a building in Raleigh in the Triangle. We played in Greensboro for 2 years. But we took our time. We built the franchise seat by seat by seat. We didn't give away a lot of tickets. We comped some tickets here and there in the right areas, which helped grow the sport. And we've grown the sport here. We were fortunate to go to the finals in 02, which was a big boost for the franchise. We won the cup in 06, which was even a bigger boost. But this market is a great market. It's got great growth, great business, great schools, a lot of wealth here. And we have our own niche here. You know, we have the ACCs here with really good basketball teams and football teams. I don't feel that we compete with them. I just feel that we're a part of the sports market here. And we had quite a night the other night when Carolina was playing in the Final Four in Detroit, and the Hurricanes were playing at home against Pittsburgh, which was one of the best regular season's games that I've ever been a part of. And it was the best crowd we've had, the highest revenue we've had for a game when Carolina was on TV playing basketball, and not many people left their seat. They wanted to see every bit of that hockey game, and they saw a good one.
Well, and actually, and I think your point's a good one, it's a great sports market, but you may be the one unifying factor, because with NC State and University of North Carolina and Duke all in the same area, the fan sporting rooting allegiance is very fragmented, except when it comes to you.
Well, it is, and that's the thing that one of our advertising themes is one team. We can all unite with one team, and it really has been that way. People talk about it. It's fun when the scores are announced for the ACC, regardless what sport it is, because they'll announce Duke won or Carolina won or NC State won, and you know, you get different cheers from different people. So you see all those alumni from those universities. And the other thing that's a little misleading, Gary, is they talk about NASCAR country. Well, we're in the state where a lot of the NASCAR drivers are from and where they live, but the fact of the matter is we only have two NASCAR races a year in North Carolina. And they have two in other states also, in Michigan at MIS and a few other states. So that's another thing that's a little bit misleading.
Let's talk about your team again for a couple of seconds. Rod Brind'Amour has 18 points in the last 15 games and seems to be a whole lot younger than his 38 years. And Cam Ward has 27 consecutive starts. He's won 39 of the 44 games you've won, setting a club record. Talk about these two players and what seems to be driving them to this level of excellence.
Well, Cam Ward has carried our team at different times, certainly during the stretch and during the season. But I think most teams that are in the 90s or the 100 points can say the same thing about their goalie. And And Cam was the most valuable player of the Stanley Cup in 06 at a very young age. We gave him the one goaltending job, and there's a learning curve there. He certainly had the ability right from the start, but there's a lot to learn from a mental point of view. And I just saw or read just a few weeks ago one of his quotes where he said that, you know, I don't think as much about what's going on in the game now. I just react. And I think that's the sign of him becoming much stronger mentally to play all these games in the regular season. And some credit has to go all, yeah, I mean, obviously the credit goes to the player where it should go, but some credit has to go to Tom Barrasso, too. Future Hall of Fame goalie, had a great career, and he's done an outstanding job with our organization. He has a great relationship with Cam. So that's been good. Rod Brind'Amour didn't have a Rod Brind'Amour type first half of the season. He came off a knee injury. He got hurt again at training camp. He missed training camp, and that set him back a little bit. But he's got his game together the second half, and I think he's playing with line mates that are very good for him. And he's played extremely well this second half. He's back to being the face-off guy, the killing penalties, and he's and as you pointed out, he's getting a lot of points.
We're talking to Jim Rutherford. A couple of questions, and then I'm going to let you go. You brought back Paul Maurice's coach. You brought back Eric Cole. What's the mindset on bringing someone back for a second tour of duty?
Well, anytime you bring somebody back, the one thing advantage you have is you know them. You know their good points, and you know their weaknesses. So that's the first thing. Peter Laviolette did a very good job for us as the coach. He was the coach that was the Stanley Cup winner, and I have a lot of respect for him. But it got to the point where I think the system we used to win the Stanley Cup, teams had adjusted to, and we were not making the necessary adjustments. We had to clean up our team defensively. And knowing the way Paul coaches, of course, he gets that label of being a defensive coach. I think that's a little unfair, but he does do a good job defensively, and him combined with Ronnie Francis going in there, we have a lot of unity in our coaching staff, and they've done a very good job. As for Eric Cole, wasn't necessarily a guy we wanted to trade, but we lost Glenn Wesley and Brett Hedekin last year, and we had to rebuild our defense, and I wanted to do it with a relatively young guy. We had the chance to get Yanni Pitkin, and Eric Cole was going to be unrestricted at the end of this coming season. And so we made that decision to do that. I wouldn't have changed anything on that because I'm a big fan of Pitkin, and see, he plays an average of 25 minutes a game for us. He does an extremely good job. But the fact that we ended up getting Eric back, who really complements Eric Staal, we end up with both players now, and that's made a difference in our team.
Jimmy, we're going to let you go. Thank you for being with us. That was Jim Rutherford, and Jimmy, good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you. Enjoyed being with you. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks.
Class act, we got to wind it up. Before we go, Gary, don't put the headset down. Is the Winter Classic going to Fenway?
Huh?
Is the Winter Classic going to Fenway?
I have nothing to announce.
Oh.
There's too much speculation out there. When we have something finalized and ready to announce, you'll be the first to know.
All right, we're going to get out of here a little early. Thanks for all of your calls. And listen, 10 games in the NHL tonight, still a whole bunch to be determined. By the time we're with you next week at 4 Eastern on Thursday, believe it or not, some playoff games will already be in the books. That's how this season has flown by, as has this 50 Minutes. Coming up next, it's In the Slot, Phil Esposito and Mike Ross.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.